الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض ان الله لا يحب المفسدين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time in our talks we speak about certain great people of the past with the intention of gaining inspiration. Today I would like to speak about a great sahabi, and there are various reasons why I have chosen the sahabi for today's khutbah. And that is the Sahabi Jalil, the very great Sahabi by the name of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the most wealthiest of all the companions of our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was amongst those companions who accepted Islam in the very initial stages. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu introduced him to our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, upon meeting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa was so impressed that he accepted Islam. He is amongst the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 people whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa in one gathering, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa gave them the glad tidings of Jannah by saying, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, continuing, and amongst them was Abdul Rahman fil Jannah. Abdul Rahman is in Jannah. Subhanallah, what a great fortune. You are in this world and you are given the glad tidings while you are in this world that you are a Jannati. And just as the people of the initial stages of Islam were persecuted, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala was similarly persecuted. And in this way, he was forced to migrate to Abyssinia. And thereafter, he migrated to Medina Munawwara. آج کے بیان عبد الرحمن ابن عوف رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کے اوپر ہے. عشرہ مبشرہ میں سے، سابقین اولین میں سے، شروع میں اسلام قبول کیا تھا. اور جس طرح سے شروع کے مسلمانوں پر قریش نے تکلیف پہنچایا تھا، تو عبد الرحمن کو بھی تکلیف پہنچایا گیا تھا، جس کی وجہ سے وہ دو مرتبہ انہوں نے ہجرت کی، ایک حبشہ کی طرف اور ایک مدینہ منورہ کی طرف. اینڈ وین ہی کمز ٹو مدینہ منورہ، دس از وین his situation changes. When they came to Medina Munawwara, we know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam paired the Muhajireen and the Ansar and made them like brothers. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the people of Medina, you look after the people of Makkah. Right? So the Ansar, they gave such a remarkable aspect of brotherhood that is unique in the annals of history, which is an inspiration for us. When people make hijrat, you don't feel bad. You welcome them. Ansar ne ye kabhi nahi kiya. They never ever said, these people are coming from Makkah, they are going to take our jobs, they are going to take our business. They welcome them. So when people migrate from another country, it's a responsibility of the host not to feel bad about it. I sometimes wonder that many a times we, in our situation, we look down upon the people who had come from the Indo-Pak subcontinent or from Somalia or from other countries. But where did your grandfathers come from? Wo kahan se aage? Wo yahan ke bashinde to nahi the? They were not here. So you also, we have to keep that. So the Ansar, they kept that. They welcomed the people of Makkah. Right? And in that particular way, in this way, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was paired with Sa'd bin Rabih. Sa'd bin Rabi was amongst the most wealthiest of the companions of the Ansar. So what did Sa'd bin Rabi do? Abdul Rahman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made us brothers, but I want to fulfill the rights of this brotherhood. Here my wealth, take half of it and take it. My house, take half my house. I got two wives, you say which one you like. Not I will love one I like, which one you like, I divorce her, you get married to her. Out of brotherhood, not because of a burden. Like the famous joke, people say, One person put an advertisement in the newspapers, wife wanted. The next day he got a whole host of replies, you can take mine. Mera le lo. Because ye itna tang aa chuka hai. I become so despondent and so tired. Not like that. Abdul Rahman, you take, here you go in. Look at the answer. He didn't say that, yeah, give me. He said, no, Saad, leave me alone. Allah has given you, Allah will give me. Show me the way to the marketplace. Show me the way to the marketplace. Ye bhi ajeeb, hame pata hai jab muhajirin, jab Makkah Mukarrama se Madina Munawwara aaya, to be gharzi, sakhawat, muhabbat, ikhlas aur khuddari, aur ghayur aur khud mukhtari ke jo misali pesh ki thi, wo aaj tak hairat ke sabab hai. Kis kis ko yaad nahi ke Saad bin Abi Rabin hai, jiska shumar Madina Munawwara ke maldaron mein se tha. Unhone apne dolat, apne baghat, yahan tak ki apne do biwiyan mein se Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf ko pesh kiya. Aur Abdurrahman ne kaise khud mukhtari se jawab diya, bhai jis tarah Allah taala ne aapko diya hai, mujhe bhi de de, mujhe bhi de denge. Aap mujhe tijarat ki mandi ka rasta batao. Show me the way to the marketplace, I will become self-sufficient. So you see, there is two aspects. When people make hijrat, the responsibility of the host to be caring, to open their hearts, and the responsibility of the people who have come to make an effort, that they must not be a burden upon anyone, they must stand on their own two feet, they must become self, they must become someone who are not dependent upon others, they are people who will be dependent upon their own efforts. This is what we learn. That's why we make mention of the incident of the Sahaba. Not only with the intention of saying, wahua, what lessons we take. Now Abdul Rahman ibn Auf started. And Allah Ta'ala gave him so much barakah. Allah Ta'ala gave him so much blessings in his wealth, you can't believe it. Allah Ta'ala then opens up his ways. He gets married. When he gets married, one day he comes in front of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him, sees an aspect of perfume. All of a sudden he's better dressed. And this aspect of perfume, there was a specific type of perfume that the woman used to wear, and he had a portion of it or some effect of it lingered upon his clothes. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abdul Rahman, you got married, you didn't tell me. Ya Rasulullah, I got married. What did you give your wife in dowry? I gave her a small piece of gold. MashaAllah. Now, after you got married, did you make walima? Awlim walau bishat. Give walima even if you have to have one sheep slaughtered. Entire sheep slaughtered, go and give walima. This is my sunnah. Now look at the simplicity of the ways. Today if someone gets married, we are not aware of it, we will get angry. Are bhai, you got married, you didn't give me dawat. Where was the card? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't get angry. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give a walima. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't get angry. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah Ta'ala give you barakah in your wealth. Allah Ta'ala give you barakah in your wealth and in your children. Then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu became so wealthy. He used to say, whatever I touched turned into gold. Whatever I touched turned into profit. So much so that if I were to have just lifted up a stone, there would have been gold and silver underneath. Because of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's barakah, his du'as, his ingenuity, he started doing business correctly, and Allah Ta'ala gave him barakah in that. Brothers, let me say one important point. Many a times today, we take pride, we get our children, we get them, you know, university degrees, we get them that they must study. I'm not saying that it's not important. Obviously it is important. It is important that we as a Muslim Ummah have people in every field. Whether it be medicine, whether it be accounting, whether it be in the government, whether it be in bureaucracy, we must be everywhere. But one thing we must never forget is, Allah Ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made mention that 90% of risk Allah has kept in tijarat. 90% of risk Allah has kept in trade. The way you can do good to others and the way you can influence through the means of trade, you will not be able to do it in any way. There is this particular tendency that this ummah and this community is going away from trade. And this, in the long run, could be harmful and detrimental to the community and society. Today, young people will feel it more a mean of pride that I'm working for such and such a company. I'm working for a multinational company. At the end of the day, you get a limited type of salary, even if it's a good salary. But through the means of business, you will find that our forefathers have been able to contribute and have been able to keep the institutions of our community anchored through the means of their contribution. Something that we should never forget. Nevertheless, Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu became very successful. One of his reasons of success was he figured out what is the demands of the society, how to acquire it and supply it to people when they needed it. You look at his, how he started. He started off by trading in dates. Then he started trading in oil and butter. Then afterwards he started trading in horses. Then he realized there is more profit in the saddles of the horses, because that time people didn't use it, but they started using it. So he got involved in the saddle of horses and he started selling that. Thereafter he got, then he got involved in camel farming. So much so that camel farming in Medina was controlled by a particular religious group. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf went into that and took the control away from them. To such an extent that he not only got involved in camel farming, but he even got involved in buying farms to look after and for the camels to graze. He not only got involved in the camel farming, but he also got involved in the supply chain, so that he is not dependent upon anyone. This was the business principle of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And he himself used to say that I had three principles with regard to trade. One is, I used to only trade by cash. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu used to say, there are chand usool the. Ek naqad tijarat. Buying by cash, selling by cash. The second thing is not waiting for a great amount of profit to come by hoarding my goods. Qeemat ke barne ke bagher, aur iska intizar kiye bagher karobar karna. Zakhira andozi na karna. He used to say, I never used to hoard things. I will get greater profit afterwards. Whenever I got an opportunity, whatever little I got, I sold it. Right? Second thing. Third principle he used to make mention. And he used to say, insaf aur sahi tarah se tijarat karna. Sadaqat ke saath. He said, third thing, I never ever let anyone down. Whenever I made tijarat, whenever I made a deal, it was always a deal with honesty and integrity. Even if there was a small flaw in my merchandise, I told people, this is the situation with regard to my merchandise. Sometimes you can get away by making a sale, by being false, by being a liar, and not involving and not speaking the truth. But in the long run, it harms you. People will look upon you as someone who is dishonest and they will not come back to you. And through the means of honesty and integrity, you build a reputation which will supplement and will help you in the long run. So Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu said, these were my three principles of business. And do you know how much wealth Allah Ta'ala had given him? Brothers, I want to make mention of it. Because, you know, you and I, we get a little bit thousands here and there. We put up a small, you know, bank account. We feel we are very good. You will be surprised by the wealth Allah Ta'ala had granted him. It's something for us to understand. When he passed away, what was his estate? 3,103,000,000 dinars. 3,103,000,000 dinars. Proper counting, not Zuma counting. Proper counting. 3,103,000,000 dinars. Gold coins. We must keep this in mind. 3 Arab. 10 crore. 20 lakh dinar unke jaidat mein tha. Now do you know 1 dinar is equivalent to 4.365 grams. Multiply that. In today's parlance, in December 2016, scholars, they took that particular, what he left behind, 4.365 grams, and they counted it. It amounted to $528 billion. In today's parlance, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf left behind $528 billion. He was a Sahabi. He was Ashra'i Mubashara. He was a Jannati. And he left behind $528 billion. Bill Gates in December 2016 was equivalent of $75 billion. He was 7 times wealthier than Bill Gates. 7 times more wealthier than Bill Gates. Now, what was his situation? One is to have wealth and then to know what to do with that wealth. You can get the wealth of Qarun and go to Jahannam. Or you can get the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Auf and go to Jannah. And what did Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala do? Firstly, let me give you a few aspects with regard to his wealth. He never sat behind and said, I gave wealth, what else do you want me to give? So I'm not going to take part in the activities of the community and the ummah. He was amongst those, together with giving wealth, he took part in jihad. In Uhud, he was wounded 21 times in being a shield to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 21 times, 21 wounds. In the battle of Tabuk, he went. When he went into the battle of Tabuk, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day, just on the time of Fajr Salat, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go and relieve himself. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to relieve himself, the Sahaba put Abdurrahman ibn Auf to become the Imam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, one rakat was gone, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Salat behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Sahabi Jalil, $528 billion jaidat, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reading in Salat behind him. This is Abdurrahman ibn Auf. That was one aspect. The second aspect with regard to his situation, he never allowed wealth to corrupt him. Never allowed wealth to make him feel superior. Today, many a times people have a little bit of wealth, they think they are better than others. They look down upon others, they have pride, they have takabbur. Not Abdurrahman ibn Auf. One day he was sitting in the gathering. He used to call people and he used to give them da'wat. So he gave them da'wat. And during the course of the da'wat, during the course of the invitation, all of a sudden, he started crying. Why is he crying? Abdurrahman, why are you crying? I'm starting to think, why did Allah give me so much wealth? Allah in the Holy Quran says, أَذْهَبْتُمْ تَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. Certain type of people who do a little bit good, Allah gives them the reward in this world. There will be nothing left for them in the year after. I'm starting to wonder, is Allah not giving me wealth here in this world that he doesn't want to give me in the year after? Musab bin Umair was better than me. This one was better than me. This one was better than me. Then they went, they didn't have enough to even cover themselves. Allah is giving me so much. Why is Allah giving me so much? Today when we get wealth, does anyone even think that maybe perhaps Allah is giving us, he's not happy with us, he's just giving us like that? I'm not saying that everyone is like that. Abdurrahman ibn Auf wasn't like that. But just the thought. This, when people get wealth, where do they think of the year after? Where do they think of Allah? Where do they think that maybe Allah Ta'ala is giving us and he won't give us in the year after? Second aspect of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the thought that no, thinking of Allah, not becoming proud, not arrogant. And the third thing, Ya Allah, what sakhawat, what charity, what type of great amount of wealth Allah gave him. And really it is something, paise ka hona ek baat hai, aur paise ko kaha aur kaise kharch karna dusri baat hai. If you have to have wealth, make dua Allah Ta'ala give you the wealth of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Subhanallah. What great amount of charity. One day, in this particular way, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, one day he sold the land, 40,000 dinars, 40,000 gold coins. On that same hisab, we make one dinar equivalent to 4.365 grams of gold. When you make hisab of that, $6.7 million. One day he gave everything out in the path of Allah. One day, $6.7 million. He looked for the family of the mother of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave everyone. Then he gave all the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that when they got it, they started weeping. Then he looked at every Badri Sahabi, gave them, go and give. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, people were in Medina and Munawwara. And then all of a sudden there was a great amount of noise, commotion. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is in a room. What is this commotion? A whole convoy of camels coming. Convoy of camels, so much noise. What is the reason? No Ummul Mu'mineen, 700 camels. 700 camels from where? 700 camels. The goods of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. 700 camels full of goods come into the bazaars of Medina. So Aisha radiallahu anha started thinking, and she said, I remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Abdurrahman will go to Jannah, but he will go crawling into Jannah. He will go crawling into Jannah. Someone went to tell Abdurrahman that Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen is saying such and such a thing. He came running. Oh, Ummul Mu'mineen, did you hear the Prophet of Allah saying this? Yes, I also heard him saying this. Why is he going to go crawling? Because the more wealth you got, more accountability. So you have to give hisab. So he said, Ummul Mu'mineen, I also heard this. And when I asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the way out of it? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give in the path of Allah. There and there, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, 700 camels full of goods, give it out to the poor of Medina. Everything he gave out in the path of Allah. That is why when he passed away, Ali radiallahu anhu cried at his janazah. And he said, here was a man who had wealth. Wealth did not corrupt him. And he utilized his wealth correctly. Allah in the Holy Quran says with regard to wealth, which I read in the beginning, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ, that when you have wealth, seek with your wealth akhirat. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, don't forget your share of this world. Yes. Through your wealth, gain akhirat. Don't forget your share of this world. What you need, buy good things, buy good clothes, buy good cars. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, be good to others the way Allah had been good upon you. وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْعَرْضِ, and do not raise corruption with your wealth. Four things with regard to your wealth. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ, وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. If anyone was a manifestation of that, it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. May Allah ta'ala elevate him. Let his legacy be one that we can follow, that we will also. I'm saying that don't, when you get the wealth, go and accumulate. But don't accumulate only for yourself. Accumulate to help others. And become professional in your business, brothers. Become professional in your business. Don't just become a corner shop mentality for the rest of your life. Right? Go and become good. But don't become good for your own self. Become good that you can become the means of risk for others, and you can help others. And then keep the wealth the way Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu kept it. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.